my wife, Jessica, and then we have Katie, Kayla, Kara, Kylie, Kenzie, and Callie. Amen. Easy to remember all that. We'll go through a little bit slower in just a minute. We went to the field of Sri Lanka back in 2007. Went to the field there, and Lord opened the door for us to go at that time with the five-year tourist visa, which was a blessing to have that availability open to us. But during the course of our time there in 2009, ended the civil war that went on in Sri Lanka for about 27 years. And a lot of pressure, a lot of intensity came in the nation as the president kind of ordered the way they went. About 30,000 civilians were killed, and about 100,000 are still missing. So a lot of pressure came and human rights violations. So anyway, the government would see Americans as either CIA or journalists. I don't really know much about either one, but they don't know that. So we left the field in 2010, and the Lord has since given there's a new administration there. There's in Sri Lanka, there's a parliament with a prime minister, but also a president. A little bit different kind of situation. They wanted to have an American and a British mix, I guess. I'm not sure how that works, but we're able to go back. Matter of fact, we've been on deputation for just right at 2 years. We're heading back next month. Amen. So we're excited about that. And we're going back. I'm going this time with a student visa. I'm going to go back and be a student. Amen. And so I am excited about that. Sometimes, at 25, going back to be a student is a little bit different. Some of y'all get that later. But the great thing is I'm going to take in the Sri Lankan University, taking a linguistics course, which will also help with the further study of the language, and full-time visa, but it's only 1 day a week I have to go. And so that's for the first year. After that, it's all research. And so we're looking forward to that, and that the Lord has opened that opportunity to us. How many here have ever heard of Sri Lanka? Well, that's a good group. How many know where it's at? All right. Wow, that's good. How many know? Does anybody here know anything about Sri Lanka? Tea. Yes, Sri Lanka tea is some of the best in the world. That's right. Anything else? It's off the coast of India. Right. Good. Wow. Anything else? Wasn't always called that. That's right. It used to be Ceylon. Good. Good. So y'all know a little bit about it. I'm going to see if we can help you understand maybe a little bit more. We're going to take you on a trip there. It's a round trip ticket. Amen. So you get to come back. So we're going to go ahead and show the video now and do that, and we'll see if you could see something else there. And of course, after the service, come back to our table. We have some prayer cards back there. I'd like you to have one of those if you pray. If you don't pray, go ahead and take one, and maybe one day you'll start praying. Amen. So we just want to be we want you to get involved with trying to reach the world with the gospel. Amen. And we're going to get involved in different ways. And then, again, we have the girls have a CD back there. I guess I sing a couple songs on there, but you can overlook those, skip them. But I just want to say this. Our CD is called College Bound. All the funds, it's just a donation towards that. It goes to the girls' college fund. And so if you're interested in that after the service, sure. Again, we are the Hewitt family, missionaries to Sri Lanka. I'm Tim, my wife Jessica, we have Caitlin, Kayla, Kara, Kylie, Kenzie, Callie Jo. Those are our special K's. Our sending church is Midlands Bible Baptist Church in Bellevue, Nebraska. Pastor is David Light. As was mentioned a little bit earlier, Sri Lanka is an island that's located there at the southeast tip of India. It's often referred to as the teardrop of India. But the greatest sorrow in the nation of Sri Lanka is the lack of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most people living in Sri Lanka have never, ever heard a presentation of the gospel. Now, Sri Lanka is about the size of the state of West Virginia. West Virginia has about 1.8 million people in population. Now, Sri Lanka, on the other hand, has well over 20 million. There's actually 22 million people in Sri Lanka today. Now what that means is that there's people everywhere. Everywhere you look, you're going to see the streets full of folks. And can I tell you, folks, there is 5 Baptist churches in the whole nation. Now, this isn't just how they get on the public transportation. It's actually how they ride down the track. If there's a handle, they'll squeeze on there. Now, there are some familiar sights in Sri Lanka. We have a Best Western. There's Burger King. Of course, we have McDonald's. We even have Pizza Hut Sri Lanka. And every Baptist can make it with some fried chicken and KFC. Amen. So y'all can come visit us. It's a little different, though. At Burger King, they serve King Rice. At McDonald's, it's the Sini Sambol burger. It's the Barita at Pizza Hut and the Biryani at KFC. Now, doesn't all that look pretty tasty? One or two takers. All right, the kids. Of course. Sri Lankan life is much the same as it is here in the U.S. We have Brilliant Skyline, the capital of Colombo. Fast food stops on the way home and so forth. There's a lot of patriotism, flags flying around Sri Lanka most of the time. Youth sports and activities. We have one professional team. Sri Lankan cricket plays throughout the world. It's a pretty good cricket team. But things are quite a bit different as well. The cattle share the road with the vehicles. For some folk, cattle are their vehicle. Parents will take their kids to school on the family vehicle, the bicycle. Anybody here ever got taken to school on a bicycle? Your parents' bicycle? Yeah, all right, good. But the school life and home life is quite a bit different in Sri Lanka. Some of the homes in Sri Lanka are even made of mud walls, as you see this one. They get washed out during the monsoon season after we pass it back up. This is an upgraded Sri Lankan kitchen with a cooker. Most Sri Lankans just cook over some cut out with wood and clay pots. They put together what's known as Sri Lankan curry. Now, doesn't that look tasty? All right, a few more kids, all right? Listen, in Sri Lanka, we even eat differently. That's right, you just dig in with your hand. No utensils required. Causes some food fights at times. But listen, the greatest challenge in the nation of Sri Lanka isn't how we're going to eat our food, but rather how we're going to get the message of hope to those that have spent their lives worshiping concrete gods. 70% of Sri Lanka is Buddhist. For generations now, they have devoted their lives to a philosophy of error. Now, many people think of Buddhism as a religion of peace. Yet in Sri Lanka, it's the Buddhist monks that incite violence against the authorities, burning down mosques and churches, and really just creating havoc among the people. Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. These Buddhist monks have resisted the gospel of Jesus Christ, keeping the truth away from the people and keeping them in darkness. This Buddhist monk took a gallon of fuel and poured it over his body, setting himself aflame, ended up costing him his life. This purpose of doing that was to save the cattle from being used to be slaughtered to feed the people. And my friends, Jesus Christ gave his life, but he gave it willingly, not to save the cattle, but to save these from the burden of their sin, from the youngest to the oldest. They're looking for a hope. So many, for so long, they've looked for that hope in all the wrong places. The Bible tells us that without the gospel, one day they will lift up their eyes in torments. The only answer for Sri Lanka is Jesus Christ.
I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside, saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed garden where old Joseph left him lay. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave.
For I was made in his likeness, created in his image. For I was born to serve the Lord, and I can't deny.
Darkness overshadows a little village of his birth. His family all asleep, he lies alone. Gazing up toward heaven, a little tear falls to the earth, and he wonders if his sorrows here are known. His body racked with pain from his father's sharp disdain, he lifts his head and whispers in the night, if there's a God above, please send someone in love to comfort me and show me what is right. His brow was creased and wrinkled, his hands were calloused hard, his hair was gray, his body stooped with age. But his eye possessed a twinkle, and his gaze shot through my heart. His voice was strong, he looked at me and said, the harvest fields are wide, and I have labored all my life. Now who will go and stand in my place? The people, they must hear that Jesus Christ is near. Step forward now, the work of God embrace. How will they hear? How will they know? How will they ever find the truth if we don't go? How can we fear God's love to show? Jesus desires every child his love to know. And around the world, in every tongue, to every nation, tribe, and clan, the gospel must be preached to every man. So who will go and light the way that leads lost souls to Christ? Who will go and lay down his life? How will they hear?
How will they hear?
How will they know?
How will they know?
How will they ever find the truth if we don't go?
How can we fear?
How can we fear?
God's love to show.
God's love to show.
Jesus desires every child his love to know.
How can we fear?
How can we fear?
God's love to show.
Amen. The answer is they will not hear. They will not hear. I was thinking, we're going to be in John chapter 1 this evening. I was just thinking there as they were singing that song. Of course, I've heard them sing that song for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. But something just struck me just now. I thought, you know, we have gone around the country trying to plead with people and trying to help folks see the need to get the gospel to parts of the world that have never heard. And maybe, you know, the Lord really has used the thought to direct us to the nation of Sri Lanka. Really this, I'd always thought we were going to go to another nation. And the Lord said, why should there be people that have already heard the gospel, hear it again, when there's so many people that have not ever heard it yet the first time? And I was thinking, and I've tried to help share the burden and of that, and I was sitting there thinking just a moment ago how much we have tried, and my family has a burden to see this, and yet how much more God is interested in getting the gospel to those people that have not heard, that are still waiting in darkness. John chapter 1. This evening in verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Let's pray together this evening. Our Father, I do pray that You would come and meet together with us tonight. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear tonight. Lord, we might receive this, Your message. Lord, pray that You'd give us the words to say that would honor You. Lord, that tonight that everything that's said and done would bring the glory and honor to You. Lord, help us in that respect tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would be stirred. Lord, not just stirred, but that we'd be moved. And Lord, to have our lives to be less like us and more like You. Father, I pray that You would have Your will and way tonight, and we'll thank You and praise You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, in Buddhism, particularly in Sri Lanka, they don't understand the concept of a creator. Really, Buddhism in and of itself is atheistic. It's considered an atheistic religion. It's kind of a strange idea when you think about it. But to them, the world spontaneously created itself. You know how what that looks like scientifically? Me either. Neither do they understand that. Matter of fact, they believe it just continues to recreate itself over and over and over continually. They actually state it this way, that there is no absolute truth concerning creation. In other words, we don't know and we don't have to know and we don't care. We just disagree with the Christians. Yet the Bible tells us so clearly here that, and with certainty, that the Word, who is Jesus Christ, made all things. I heard about that a bit in Sunday school this morning. And He made the universe and made all the life which is in. In verse 3 it says this, all things were made by Him. So first it states this, all things were made by Him. And then He restates it this way, and without Him was not anything made that was made, just in case we didn't get it. I like when the Lord does that. Sometimes we say, well, that's just not clear. Well, let me try it another way. And that's the way the Lord does sometimes. And sometimes we still try to pretend like we don't. I say we, I mean humankind. You know, we try to say that. But I want to say this. All life was made by Him. He is the life of all men. Look at verse 4. It says this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of all men. Listen, all life is God breathed. Without God breathing on us, we're still dirt. That's just it. Without Him, there is no life. And people say, you ever heard, well, if it wasn't for Jesus, where I'd be? Well, if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be. So we wouldn't say if it wasn't for Jesus, because that doesn't even make sense. Because if it wasn't for Him, this whole thing would still be dirt. It may not even be dirt yet, because it'd be nothing. I'm just saying, listen to this. All creation has their source in Jesus Christ. But I want us to see this tonight. He's not only the source of life, but He is the light of man, as it says there in verse 4. He in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the light that shows man the way, watch this, the way out of darkness. You ever go into we often do this. You go into your house at night. Tonight you're going to go home. Most of us, maybe some of y'all have those lights, that motion detectors when you come in. That's kind of good if you got the door locked. Amen. It's kind of good. Nowadays, though, we pull out our cell phones with the flashlight. I'm just saying, but when you go into say you don't have one, and you open up, go walk into your house, darkness can be a little bit eerie, scary. It is, especially if you're by yourself. And even, I don't get scared, but I'm sure other people do, right? And so, but you know, let me say it this way. Darkness isn't so bad when we can find the light. We've traveled, like I said, for a couple years, and we're in different places often. I mean, sometimes every night, sometimes we get opportunity. We have a great place for staying here, so we wish we had like another year to stay here. But anyhow, it's a blessing. And so, but sometimes you go into a place and you don't know the surroundings, and so you'll feel along the wall where you think the light switch should be, and you're feeling along. But you know, there's kind of, when all of a sudden you hit the light, you feel the light switch, all of a sudden your heart just, and you flip it on. And listen, I'm saying the darkness isn't so bad when we can find the light. But here lies the problem in our world tonight. Look in verse 5 again. And the light shineth in darkness, but watch this, and the darkness comprehended it not. Though the light of Jesus Christ is available to the world, darkness cannot comprehend it. I want you to grab a hold of this tonight and see how this is going to apply to us. Listen, this is what the Lord said. I'm not trying to find something new to be interesting. I'm just saying, it's pretty clear here that the light, it shines in the darkness, but the problem is this: even though the light shines in the darkness cannot comprehend it. And here, comprehend doesn't just simply mean to understand, maybe how we would use the word as a simple meaning, just to understand. It means more than that. It really carries more of the thought of even not only understanding, but to take a hold of and to do something with it and make it some kind of value to it. The darkness cannot take a hold of or attain the light. Really, it's this: darkness does not have the ability even, doesn't even have the ability to comprehend the light. When I didn't grow up in church, I was really just raised a heathen. We weren't really anti-God, we just, really just without God. My mom didn't go to church. She worked a full-time job. She went to school, and then she became a nurse and worked, to raise my sister and I. And I appreciate that, but we didn't really talk about God at home. Didn't do anything about things of the Lord. Wasn't against God, just never for Him. It didn't talk about Him at all. It just was. We all believed we were going to heaven all because we're all good people. Isn't that? I mean, right now, when I think about that now, it sounds so stupid. Back then, it sounded so comforting. God loves us all. And what security, what comfort that God just loves us all. But really, it has so little real security with it. And as we learn more about the Lord, we find out, wow, it's so empty. And just thinking, God, I had no idea who He was. And yet, as we went on this direction, I was really a punk teenager. By the time I was 15 years old, I'd already been to 7 juvenile lockups. My life wasn't really headed to the place of folks looking at me and say, he's going to be the most likely to stay out of jail. Wasn't even that. I mean, I'm just saying, trouble going. And it didn't really go up from there. It went down from there. And finally, by the grace of God, I really believe God was directing me in that time, even though I was without Christ, that I joined the Air Force when I was 19 years old and spent a couple years in England. And right at the end of my tour there, I just began to be drawn to read the Bible. Just began reading the Bible. Didn't understand a lick of it. But I just somehow, I just was compelled to continue reading and continue reading. I read from, started reading the New Testament. I had a little New Testament they'd given me and started reading that. And it was so odd, really. I thought, I need to start from the beginning. So I went to the base exchange and I got the cheapest Bible they had. I didn't want to invest too much in case it wasn't going to work out. And so I got that thing and just started reading. I read. I got transferred to Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Just started reading. Got up through like 1st, 2nd Kings, somewhere like that. I mean, just I'm talking about, that's a lot of rough reading. And I got through this. Somehow, I think about it now, I think, how strange. I just kept reading. Didn't really understand. Just kept going. I'm just saying this. Darkness has no way to perceive or receive the light of man, which is Jesus Christ. You know, the world sits in darkness today. Most of the world is without Christ. And they're unable to do anything with the light. Even though the light of Jesus Christ is available, they're unable to do anything with it. Listen, it's as if they're in a room and there's light switches all around, but they can't flip any of them on. So that's the problem. The problem is, even though Jesus is available, it's just this. The darkness cannot comprehend the light, even though the light is available. What a tragic situation. It's as if there's a cure for your disease. It's a well-known cure for your disease, but you just can't have any. Just can't have any. It's like it's there, it's available, and you say, I want it. But the fact is, for most people in these parts of the world, they don't even know there's a cure available. Matter of fact, they would, just like maybe I did as a young person, is thinking, hey, I'm all right. They have no idea that they're even sitting in darkness. So what do we do about it? I hope you want to do something about it. Three people do. Well, all right, that's a good start. rest of y'all probably just quieter, but you do want to do something about it, right? That was better. Okay, we still got a lot of work to do tonight. Amen. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So God uses, listen, God wants to find a way for darkness to receive light. You with me tonight? We all right? Makes sense to us? God wants to find a way for those that are in darkness to be able to receive the light, to do something with it. I mean, listen, the world is in darkness and the light's available. So the Lord wants the darkness to be able to receive the light. He doesn't want them to miss out on it. Wow, he wants them to get in. So his plan is this. Wants to use man to be a witness of the light. Bible tells us there it's through man bearing witness that the light can be comprehended. It says here that all men through him might believe. Through him, talking about John the Baptist, the witness, his witness through him, that others would be able to comprehend, rather as it says here, that they would be able to believe and receive the light. What a wonderful thing when you consider this. Here John the Baptist was there. He was just really being a witness of the light as God had sent him to be there. And as he was being a witness of the light, the darkness that, watch this, before could not comprehend it. By the way, the light didn't change because John the Baptist was there. By the way, his witness wasn't the saving power. Look at verse 8. He says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Here's the thing that's so exciting. The light is already there. The light of the world is Jesus. He is already there. He's already in place, not far from us. By the way, not far from them. But they can't comprehend it. They don't have the ability. So God's plan then is for man that has received the light to bear witness of that light so that others through him might believe on the light. You know, can I tell you folks, tonight Sri Lanka is a darkened place. Though the light of Jesus Christ is available to them. They need someone to bear the light to them. How will they hear if we don't go? Well, somebody else will. Doesn't that feel good to think, well, maybe God would like me to be used in that capacity, but I kind of like what I'm doing now. I'm kind of comfortable here, and I kind of already have some plans. And so I really don't want to change my plans because my plans are pretty good. And listen, watch this. I'm still going to be used for Jesus right here. But I want to do this thing that I want to do, and God's plan is for you to go. Think about Jonah there when God called him to go to that great city, Nineveh. And God didn't just decide to switch things around. Can I tell you, they need someone to bear light to them. God has a plan who it is. You know, even Sri Lankans can be saved. You know, sometimes we think folks over there, they're so backward. We think they're so, man, they don't. When I can remember, we were taking our first survey trip, our survey trip back in 2005, and the missionary that was going to host us, he said, listen, I want y'all to come plan to preach all this. I said, okay. And I thought, man, what am I going to preach to these people? I got to find my children's church lessons. You know, I'm just thinking, how am I? And I had kind of prepared some things that was really just like, these basic kind of ignorant people kind of things. I thought, they don't know anything. And so I prepared. I got there to their church, and I was embarrassed. I thought, wow, these folks have received, those in the church that have received Jesus Christ, some of them I thought, man, they could teach me a thing or two. I'm telling you, I thought, wow, they could receive the Spirit of God, and they could receive salvation, and the Spirit of God could teach them the Word of God just like you and I. Sometimes we get the wrong impression about those on the other side of the world because we haven't seen much of them. I tell you, they can be saved. Verse 12 tells us this. It says, but as many as receive him, talking about Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But can I tell you this, folks? They will not be able to comprehend the light without us bearing the gospel to them. They're not just going to, listen, there's not going to be just some outside revelation that just, God doesn't work that way today. He said, well, you know, I'm just reading what the Word of God has to say. He said, the darkness cannot comprehend it. You know, I know that puts a lot more pressure on us. I know it really does. I know it puts a lot more responsibility on us. Listen, I'm just like you. I'd like the responsibility to be on someone else, at least just not me. I'd like a little less pressure, a little less blood on my hands and on someone else. And I'm just saying here, the Bible says they can't comprehend it without a witness of the light. And I tell you, folks in Sri Lanka, they need us to take the light to them. But likewise, there's people that God has called you to bear the light to. It'd be better if it was just about me, wouldn't it? We all right tonight? It'd be better if it was just about me and about somebody going somewhere else. But really, if we're saved here tonight, then God has somebody he wants you to bear the light to. Sure, they may be somebody that's religious. Mm-hmm. They may even go to church somewhere. You know, some of the hardest people to witness to tell about Jesus Christ are those that are in church. You know why it's hard? It's hard for us because we're embarrassed. Well, I don't want to seem like I know more and our church is better than them and I know more than them. I'm just telling you, if somebody was there in darkness inside of some church building somewhere else, by the way, they can be sitting in here and be in darkness. Amen. That'd probably be their own fault though, wouldn't it? Amen. Gospel's preached here, so it'd kind of be their own fault, wouldn't it? But I'm saying they might be in some place over there, and you know, that's Aunt Gertrude, and I don't know Aunt Gertrude. She's such a great lady, and she loved me. She said something about Jesus one time, so I'm sure she's saved. This is kind of how we do, because it's my aunt, and I don't really want her to be not saved. Amen? I don't want her to be separated from God, and so I feel better just thinking that she's saved. First of all, I just feel better like that, thinking about that she's not separated from God. But second, if I go really start trying to tell Aunt Gertrude, she is maybe taking me out of her will. You understand? Maybe she's going to get mad at me. Maybe I'm going to cause some problems in the family. Maybe she's going to call my mom. Do you know what he said? I'm just saying, we can get a little bit concerned, but I'm just saying they can be there in religion and church and all that, still be in darkness. I'm telling you, they're hard to talk to because we're more concerned that we're going to say the wrong thing and make ourselves look like an idiot or feel like an idiot or do something like that. They might have family that's religious. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've met door-to-door visitation. Yeah, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. They're living in sin, so far separated from God. I can't tell you how many people I've visited and talked to. Oh, yeah, we got all these preachers and fathers, and I mean, maybe some have their mothers who preach. I don't know the things going on there, but they'll have all kinds of things out there, these religious family members. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to put a gloomy thought here this evening, but this, I can't tell you how many churched children of church members that are out of church. And I don't mean just out of church. I mean they are in darkness. They have fled. And then you know how they raise their children? They raise them as far away from church as possible. And I don't know. I'm sure everyone has a great excuse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's something happened or this and that. But I'm saying they can have all that family. They can have church. They can have all this. And still, that doesn't bring them any closer to the light of Christ than the Buddhist Sri Lankans. They need someone to help them comprehend the light. So how's it done? Simply, tonight, how's it done? We're finished here. John chapter 1, verse 15. We find here in verse 15, John bear witness of him. And I like the two words. It says, and cried, saying. So John's bearing witness. Can I tell you this? It's not lifestyle evangelism. We all understand what I'm saying tonight? It was two things. He cried. You say, well, what does that mean? He cried out. In case we don't understand what it means, it says saying. Bearing witness really takes talking. I know we don't, folks, I'm telling you. You know, I probably knocked on tens of thousands of doors. I don't know. I've knocked on a lot of doors. Not because I think, you know, it gets me any closer to heaven, but I just think that's what God wants us to do and reach people and try to get into people. I've probably, if I would say the percentage of those that are real interested is very low. But I've knocked on tens of thousands of doors, probably. I don't know. I never counted or tried to keep track. But I'll tell you, never have I seen someone really get excited and come to Christ by me just telling them, showing just a good smile. I don't mean that we need to beat the Bible through them, but it's got to be by something being told them. Amen. Can I tell you this? As I go knocking doors, you know the truth of the matter is this, and I've been a preacher, a pastor, missionary, a soul winner. My wife and I started going soul winning from the second week after I was saved. I mean, this is what we've done our whole life. But I'm telling you, still, a lot of times I'll go knock on that door and I'm half nervous somebody will answer. I kind of half hope nobody will come to the door. You say, what are you out there for? I'm there because I want people to come, but still there's nervousness. You know what I'm saying? Still something, I'm just getting a little bit and someone's going to come there and I don't know what's going to be there and a little nervousness and I'm always scared. I'm not scared, but just anxious about what's going to happen. What are they going to say? And I can remember wanting to go pass out tracts to the lady at the cash register or something like that. I'd go and I'm thinking, I got these tracts. I'm wanting to give them. I'm just getting a little nervous. And almost every time I've given a tract to a lady or a man or whoever at the counter, you know, almost every time, you know what they say? Thank you. It's good. You're right. Thank you. I'm like, you're not supposed to say thank you. I almost want to get mad at them. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, I'm just saying this, folks. It's by speaking. Look at verse 23, just in case we missed it. verse 23, he said, I am the voice, one crying in the wilderness. I'm just saying this, to be a witness, to be a witness of him is a voice saying things. It's by being a voice. To be a witness means to testify. It's to testify. Can you imagine somebody getting called? I mean, nothing is, but how we've done our things, but somebody gets on the court, on court, and they come up there, they sit down in the stand, and they begin asking me questions. They said, I plead the fifth. You know, in other words, they say, I'm not going to say anything. You'd say, why'd we even have you come? Can I tell you, they're not a help to anyone. You understand? Someone that pleads the fifth is not a help to either side. They're really just a waste, and if we'd have known they were going to do that, we wouldn't even call them in the first place. Testify means I've got to testify in behalf of someone. And tonight what we're talking about, testifying in behalf of Jesus Christ. It's with our voice. One crying. Crying. I think the word crying there is used because it takes passion, compassion. Sometimes folks don't like it. I know it's kind of odd. Imagine that. There's sometimes people don't like to hear it. As was mentioned this morning, darkness doesn't like the light. If we will tell others about the light that's already in the world, they'll be able to comprehend it. Then they'll be able to believe. Look at verse 7 here. He said, the same came for a witness to bear the light, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. Can I tell you tonight, folks, just this, there's not a sweeter thing in this world than being the vessel through which someone believes on Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably the greatest thing that I ever get to be a part of is personally sharing the gospel with somebody, and when they come to a place that they understand the truth. Doesn't mean they get saved. That's a different thing. That's between them and the Lord. That's not between me and them. You understand? That's not between me and the Lord. It's not between me and them. That's between them and the Lord, what they do. What's between me and the Lord is, will I testify of him? Listen, I was there in Sri Lanka. The first fellow that we met is a fellow by the name of Ruchira. I met him in 2007. We did a track, our family went out and did a track distribution run, and he signed one of the tracks, sent it back, and said, I decided to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior. I thought, amen. I called him up. I didn't know if it, Ruchira, is that a man or a woman? So I had my wife call. I think it's a girl. And I asked other people, yeah, I think that's a girl's name. She called him up and found out it was a guy and passed the phone to me. Hey, you know. And so we began to, I went up there and visited. I said, so you've left Buddhism, you've decided to follow Jesus Christ. He said, what do you mean? You know, for them, it's, you don't leave Buddhism, you just add Jesus. So I spent some time. It's a long process. It's not, you know, it's not a just a quick little Romans Road trip. You know, we've got it. It's a long trip from that place. And I spent years and months and weeks and years in talking to them and sharing the gospel and trying to help them understand. My wife and I were over there back in November, and I sat down, made an appointment, go and visit with them. I sat down with them, and I mean, I wasn't there for like 5 minutes, and he said, what's the difference between Catholic and Christian? I said, okay, let me tell you. So we began to talk some time, and listen, I finally said, Ruchira, I said, he had a Buddha statue up on a shelf on his wall. I said, Ruchira, I said, you can't add Jesus up there next to Buddha. I said, you're going to have to take Buddha down and put Jesus in his place. And he said, oh. And I thought, man, I've told him this a dozen times. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was working this time. But here's what's exciting. When he came unto the understanding of the light, you know what he was able to do? He was able to comprehend the light. And I said, Richard, I said, I'd like you to be a Christian. He said, listen, I'm open to it. I need to think about this. Now, for a Buddhist, Sri Lankan Buddhist, to come to Jesus Christ, really to leave Buddhism is to lose everything. And he said, I need to think about this. He said, I need to study some. I said, I just happen to have some things for you to read. Just happen to have some gospel tracts to leave with them. And he said, I need to read some, think about it. I said, do that. What a great thing. I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting, invigorating than when you've brought somebody to a place that was in darkness and they can now comprehend the light. It's greater than when you got saved yourself. You say, well, how can that be? Salvation is the greatest thing in the world. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. But you didn't understand it when you got saved. When I got saved, I thought, well, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'm saved from forgiven. But I didn't understand it all. The longer I've been saved, the sweeter it is, the more exciting. So when someone gets saved, now, I can remember the preacher that led me to the Lord. He was there. I was in a church service. First time I'd ever heard the gospel. Heard him preach the gospel. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, woo, he said, you're like a lamb in a field of clover. What does that even mean? I'm like, is that some Baptist? He said it two or three times. I'm like, this is weird. Why are you saying that? I didn't say it out loud. I'm thinking, these people are weird. But you know the difference? He understood. He understood the excitement. I was like, well, you know, I'm glad I'm kind of on the right track. But I'm telling you, listen, my life changed overnight. But I'm telling you, what an exciting thing, leading someone to Christ, helping the darkness to comprehend the light. Maybe tonight God has put someone on your heart that He has already burdened your heart to be the one that God has called you to tell them. You know, there when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, and Jonah decided, I don't want to do that. He said, that's what he said. Matter of fact, I'm going to get as far away. I don't want anything to do with that. You know, God didn't say, okay, Jonah doesn't. Let's find Micah. Or let's get, you know, the prophet Tim. Anyway, he didn't find someone else, did he? What does that mean? I'm just saying this. God had someone that He had in mind to take the gospel to that individual. That individual city, that city. God went to pretty good efforts to get Jonah to be in the place where he needed to be. And I'm saying he might have had a bad spirit and might have had a lot of things, but I'm saying God has a desire to use you to get the gospel to somebody. So maybe tonight you're here and say, you know, God has not really ever burdened my heart to tell the gospel, to share the gospel with anybody. And I'll say tonight you're probably not saved. So how do you get that? That got a little quiet, but what does my opinion matter anyway? But I'm just saying this, if you've never received the burden to share the gospel with somebody, you might want to examine your own salvation. But this here, God wants to use you. Maybe God has put someone in your mind already tonight and said, you know, I know God's been telling me. Maybe it's Aunt Gertrude. I've been trying to hold back from that thing. Maybe tonight you'd say, God, I will surrender to be a voice to that individual. Say, God, it's a hard thing. It's a difficult thing. I know it is, folks. This isn't, listen, if it was easy, we wouldn't have to be preaching on it so much, and the Word of God wouldn't have to have so much pressure on us to do this. But it's a challenge for us. It goes against our human nature. And tonight, maybe God wants to stir your heart to help somebody. Listen, can you look at this? There are people around our world that are in darkness and are waiting for someone to go there. Listen, maybe someone here tonight, God has burdened you to surrender to go to some place. Take the gospel to somewhere that nobody else wants to go. You say, well, you know, there's already people. No, listen, I'm saying maybe God has burdened your heart. Maybe tonight you would just say, God, if you would do that. Maybe you say, you know, that's not really what God hasn't called me to that. What would you do to send someone else there? Isn't it exciting we can all be involved in this thing? One day there's going to be a Sri Lankan believer walking the streets of gold, and you look over and say, hey, are you? I seen a video look like you. Are you a Sri Lankan? Maybe we'll just know everything. We'll know that. And they say, yeah, I'm a Sri Lankan. Wouldn't it be exciting to say, you know, I was able to be a part of that. I prayed, was involved in that thing. And say, wow. And they said, yeah. And they come and give you a big old hug on your neck and be excited because they're there, because you were involved, and not just there, but other places around the world. Listen, God wants us to be a witness of the light. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, have your will and way in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd stir us. Lord, we need to be moved. Lord, it's so easy for us to get comfortable and used to our comfort. Lord, you've blessed us so greatly in our nation that hardly do we have any want. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, that we might see that there is a world that's in darkness. Lord, I pray that you'd stir us to do something about it. Lord, maybe even those in our own neighborhood, certainly those that are in faraway places that have no witness at all. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be involved in that and stir our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heads are bowed, their eyes are closed.